It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good morning, KSL News Time now, 5:30.
It's 68 degrees.
Looking great on our I-15 corridor. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
Our top story this half hour, the wait is almost over. A new Salt Lake City airport will open tomorrow with a brand new terminal and the first concourse.
KSL News Radio's John Wojcik joins us live with more on the big change for travelers, John.
Yeah, Amanda, after 6 years of construction and about two decades of planning, the Salt Lake City International Airport is about to open its brand new $4.1 billion facility tomorrow that will start with a massive new terminal and its first concourse. Bill Wyatt, executive director of the Salt Lake City International Airport, says they always knew it was going to be a mad dash to meet tomorrow's deadline for opening.
September 15th, that's when we're opening. There may be a few guys running around with light bulbs and screwdrivers, but we're going to be open on the 15th.
Officials say the coronavirus pandemic has actually provided a silver lining for them in some regards. Instead of having to operate both the new and the old airport as previously planned, the lower demand for air travel will allow all operations to move into the new facility by the end of October and also pave the way for demolition of the old airport to begin sooner. Live, John Wojcik, KSL News Radio.
The current outage report from Rocky Mountain Power shows that 4,700 customers still without power after last week's windstorm. The power company says they expect to make a lot of progress today, but some outages could last into Wednesday. That could mean more than a week without power.
Utah's 2020 school year. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Today is the first day of classes in the Salt Lake City School District again.
It's been delayed because of the pandemic, a storm, and power outages. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards joins us live with more. Mary? We evidently don't have Mary, so we'll try and get back to her coming up here in just a moment. The Goshen Fire was only a couple of miles from reaching a Santaquin neighborhood when information was sent out from state officials that homes were being evacuated, but that was not correct.
I was pretty nervous because I've already been through that, and I know what it's like. I know how scary it is to have to evacuate and get out of there as fast as you can and take a limited amount of things with you, so it's pretty scary.
Because they were fighting another fire only a couple of miles away, crews reached the fire quickly and were able to keep it from spreading further.
KSL weather with Grant Wayman. Most of the week will be a little warmer than normal, but we're looking at some cooler temperatures by the weekend.
We went from like way below the average last week to now above average temperatures again. We hit 90 yesterday, and we're going to be on this plane of pretty warm days ahead here for the next four, with temperatures all right around 90 degrees.
Grant says right now, as the days start to shorten, we're cooling off faster, so our overnight lows will be in the lower 60s for the work week.
All right, let's go back to our Mary Richards. As we mentioned, the first day of classes in Salt Lake City School District appear to be taking place today. Mary?
We'll see if parents still try to take a first day of school picture. Salt Lake students are now 3 weeks behind the other major school districts in the valley because the Salt Lake School Board voted to start late already, and then the windstorm and power outages last week caused another delay. The district is the only one in the state doing remote learning only, so when homes lost power and internet, it was impossible to log on. Today, some students will begin with video classes. Others will have assignments to work on. Live, Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
The death toll grows as fire spreads across the West. KSL's top national stories this hour with Sean Michael Lyle live at the KSL National News Desk.
Amanda, the toll now stands at least 35 killed by Western wildfires, with red flag warnings up along the entire West Coast today. This mayor sifted through the remains of his small town in the mountains of Oregon.
I can't blame anybody because this thing just came like a freight train.
Hundreds of homes destroyed all along the coast. Air quality is dangerously bad throughout the region. Sally set to become a hurricane today in the Gulf of Mexico before making landfall sometime tomorrow. This man is in Biloxi, Mississippi.
We're concerned with it, very concerned about how high the water is going to be. They're saying, 7 to 11 feet.
Biloxi is in the center of the forecast cone. And two Los Angeles County deputies ambushed yesterday as they sat in their cruiser.
They were both critically injured, multiple gunshot wounds.
The sheriff fears rising anti-law enforcement sentiment may be the motive. A $100,000 reward is offered to find that shooter. And the CEO of Pfizer says their coronavirus vaccine could be available to Americans before the end of the year. Albert Bourla says they should know if it's safe and effective by the end of October, then would await FDA approval. Live at the KSL National News Desk, Shawn Michael Lyle, KSL News Radio.
President Trump is facing criticism for holding an indoor rally in Nevada over the weekend.
Nevada's Democratic governor calling the president's first indoor rally reckless and selfish. But President Trump telling his supporters,
tell your governor to open up your state, by the way.
The Biden campaign pouncing, writing in a statement, every rally turned super spreader event is another reminder to Americans that Trump still refuses to take this pandemic seriously and still doesn't have a plan to stop it, even after nearly 200,000 deaths and untold economic damage. Nesda Liquitera, ABC News, Washington.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.